Well, welcome to Who's Going to Win for Week 9 of the high school football season. We've hit the end of the regular season, and we've got 1 week left, our special postseason edition of Who's Going to Win, but we'll figure out some of these games. Some of these games that we have on the list, for the most part, are going to be key to some playoff matchups here before the season is over. So a pretty good list of games this week. Got the whole gang with us. We'll introduce them here in just a moment. Our Who's Going to Win program this week brought to you by Ag Business Associates and Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic. Back with more right after this.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now if you live in one of the 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Well, back here on Who's Going to Win with you here on Week 9, we've got the whole gang in with us this week. Matt Mullenix, Chris Parks, Doug Leonard, all in with us. I'm Jim Field. Thanks for joining us here on Who's Going to Win this week. Who's going to win? That'd be Chris, I think. Are we safe on that?
I thought we were officially renaming the program the Chris Parks Pick'em Show.
The Chris Parks Pick'em
Show. Schwami says.
Schwami says?
He can still falter. We saw it a few years ago.
It can't happen.
That's true. Happen. Nothing. It ain't over till it's over, and it's getting close to being over. Let's take a look at what we did last week here on our program. It was Cam beating Lennox 30-7 last week, an 8-man. We all had that right. Stanton defeating Sydney 68-34. Chris had a limb pick. Of all things, Stanton, seriously? We gave him a limb pick?
He said that last week.
I know. Well, we're all trying to make up room, and you got to pick opposite to make up space, so it didn't work. Chris got that one. Bedford, we all did have that one. We all had our senses there. 69-16 over Corning. It was Trainer beating Tri-Center 30-20. I tried a limb pick there. Didn't work out. The other guys all had Trainer. Logan Magnolia beat Griswold 42-6 in our broadcast game last week in one of the quickest high school football games I think I've ever seen. Game kicked off at 7 o'clock, and I think it was about 8:45. We had our equipment packed up, and we were gone.
Yeah, that's got to be pushing a record for the quickest first half, too, because you never get that running clock. But, boy, it was over in 40 minutes, if that.
Yeah, fast game. Both teams running teams. 42-6, Logan Magnolia wins, and we all win here because we all had Loma. Kemper Catholic beat JSPC 41-6 last week. That was a winner for Matt and for Chris. Also, it was Harlan over Winterset 41-14. Doug, what were we thinking?
I don't know. Not thinking again. It was opposite, like you're talking about.
It's, yeah, exactly. You're just reaching for stuff. Harlan, a winner for Matt and Chris. And then it was Atlantic beating Carroll 41-25. That was a winner for everybody but Chris. Go ahead and apologize now.
Sorry, Trojans. Glad you proved me wrong. Glad they proved me wrong.
I give you a chance to work your way out of that. Last week, Chris and Matt each went 7-1. Doug went 6-2. I went 4-4. So the standings on the season in our little pick 'em program go like this now. Chris, massively out in front. He's 51-13, rather. Then it's Matt next. He's 42-22. Then I'm barely in third place, 40-24, and Doug is right there knocking on the door, 39-25. So we've got a good race going for second, third, fourth place right now, if nothing else. So that's what we have after week number 8. We move to week number 9, and here's how we do it. We put 8 high school football games on the list each week, and we guess who's going to win. That's why we came up with that creative title for the program. Let's start out with our broadcast game tonight. Chris and I will be in Anita tonight as Cam and Murray will face off in 8-man football. This is an important game for these two teams because they're tied currently for second place. One will be second in the district. One will be third, depending upon the outcome tonight. And let's shake things up a little bit. Let's let Matt go first this week. He went 7-1 last week. We'll give him first crack at this one.
Okay, sounds good. In this week's game here with Murray and Cam, I like the Cam Cougars to come out on top. They've been playing really tough here this week. They know what is at stake. It's sets you up for that first round playoffs, another home game during the first round next week. And, you know, they've been playing awfully tough there defensively, as well as being able to put some points on the board. So home field advantage going with the Cougars.
All right. Boy, I'm going to go with Cam also at home because I know Chris is going to go with Murray, so I got to go out on a limb here, right? He's not going with Murray? I don't know what he's going to do. We'll find out soon enough. I was impressed, though, with Murray's numbers. Just looking at some of the individual numbers, they have four running backs or four players who have at least 325 yards rushing. So, you know, they've got a little variety out there. And their quarterback, Austin Halls, he's not going to wow you with his completion numbers and that type of thing. He's got 1,183 passing yards. That's a pretty decent year. I was really impressed with the 18 touchdowns against two interceptions. That's pretty impressive. I think they need to do a lot more right, though. And I think the Adair-Casey game kind of exposed some things there, too. I'm going to go with Cam at home. They're going to ride Dylan Amdor I hope will be a good night for them. So we'll see how that plays out tonight, but I'm going to go with Cam. Doug?
Yeah, both teams have an impressive record, seven wins apiece. But, you know, as you said, Murray came up in this area, in this neck of the woods, a few weeks ago and lost a tough one, their only blemish, to Adair-Casey. So I like Cam playing at home. If it was at Murray, you know, I would say both ways. It's a long trip either way. But being at Cam, I'm going to take the Cam.
Okay, that's three for the Cougars. Chris, what do you like?
Yeah, this is a really fun game. It should be a very good one. Both teams, you look at the numbers, they're fairly similar in how they balance their offenses. And Murray's accumulated a little bit more as far as yardage and scoring goes over the season. It'll be a really fun game. I know the folks up at Cam earlier this year, they kind of had their eye on Murray, knew they were going to be a tough team and a little bit maybe bigger team than them. But I think I like kind of the X factor for Cam, and especially being at home, but with Brady Runyon. I think he's kind of the key to their ball club. He can do a lot of things, both catching the ball and running the ball. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Cougars at home as well.
So you got Murray?
Nope, Cam.
You said Murray.
C-A-M, not M. C-A-M.
Oh, okay. I thought you had Murray there. Come on, you got to throw the dog a ball. You got a big lead. A few games here and there won't kill you, will it?
I ain't trying that. I've been down that road before.
I know. That's why we have full confidence you're going to goof this up yet. All right, everybody likes Cam here. And that's our broadcast game, by the way. Chris and I will have that for you right after this program, kickoff 7 o'clock. Should be a good one tonight. Look forward to that. Also, another game that would be kind of fun to watch. We've got Fremont Mills on the road at East Mills tonight. The Mills brothers facing off this evening for the opportunity to win their district in eight-man football. And I guess that's the only thing that folks really in that district have been kind of looking forward to. It's really kind of been a two-man show during the course of the year. Who finishes second or third and fourth, I apparently didn't really matter as much as how these teams were going to face off here at the end of the year. You know, there's a lot of good in both of these teams. One's a ground game, one's primarily a passing offense and stuff. You know, I was looking at statistics, and I really like Luke Schaefer of East Mills. 68% of his passes he completes. He's thrown for almost 2,300 yards, 43 touchdown passes, and only four interceptions. That is incredible. That's really good numbers. Go Schaefer, go East Mills. I'm going to take East Mills at home. Doug?
Well, here's our first disagreement, Jim. Only two games in, of course, but you know, you look at the records are both impressive. Neither team with a blemish at all. A couple things I looked at though was you know, you look at comparable scores of the Adair-Casey game. Fremont Mills scored a little bit more and gave up a little bit less than East Mills did. 80-8 versus 63-26. You know, both put up a lot of points, but. And if you look at some of the scores that Fremont Mills has had this year, they seem to maybe just have a little bit tougher defense, although you never know. I mean, sometimes most of those games are blowouts, and so who keeps their starters in longer? You know, you just never know. But, you know, having a game here at the end of the season and relying on a passing offense, I kind of like that rushing offense a little bit more of Fremont Mills. I'm going to take them.
And normally that's where I kind of go, too.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know. It's just they don't have one rusher who really is a dominant rusher. They do kind of spread things around a little bit. And, yeah, it's a really good matchup. And it's hard to compare scores with these because everybody's a blowout, you know. So somebody might have given up a few more points, but it might have been against basically their JV. I don't know. Chris, can you figure it out?
Yeah, this is going to be a really fun game.
You're from Mills County. Yeah, yeah. You got all the insight.
You've heard of the Page County Super Bowl. This is a Mills County Super Bowl this year because they're probably both a little more talent on their squads maybe than Glenwood this year, unfortunately. But Both these two teams have the experience, and last year I got the pleasure of seeing Fremont Mills play up in the semifinals at the Dome, and they took Armstrong Ringstead to the wire. It was an awesome team that's just won a ton of games in a row in eight-man play. Fremont Mills, maybe if you look at the stats, you don't think they have one guy that does it all, but they do. His name is Nate Meyer, and the only reason he doesn't have more yardage on the season is because they take him out of the game after five, six carries. So, unfortunately, that district hasn't provided any challenges for these two teams. It's going to be Schaefer versus Meyer, and I like the experience of Fremont Mills. I like what they did last year. They lost almost nobody off that team from last year. I think they're really hungry to try to get a state title. I'm going to go with Fremont Mills.
Ranked third and fourth this week in the AP poll. Fremont Mills is third, East Mills is fourth. Matt, what do you think?
You guys have said it all. I think what it's going to come down to is I like the quarterback play of Mr. Schaefer. He's impressed me throughout the season. I think he's got a good focus group. And, of course, both teams have had this game circled on their calendar, working towards it. And so here they go. You know, they're going to line it up and get after it. And so this year I'm going to go with East Mills.
Okay. So we split it up 2-2. All right. Let's move. Actually, we're going to take a break here, and then we're going to move into 11-man football right after that. So stay with us. Right back.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now if you live in one of the 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
All right, back on who's going to win. Let's take a look at game number three. Bedford is on the road at AHST tonight. Doug, what do you think is going to happen here?
Well, HST has kind of turned the corner maybe a little bit this year. They've had some closer games and a few victories recently, but you know, Bedford is a tough ball club, and even though they're going on the road, I'm going to take them for the win.
Okay, that's one for Bedford. Chris?
I'm also going to go with Bedford here. The importance of this game is there for both these two teams as they're fighting for positioning, and you've got Cody Morris for Bedford, just had a terrific year so far, averaging 11 yards a carry, so HST can counter with Jake Larson, but I think Bedford's just got a little bit more out there, so I'm going to take Bedford here.
Okay, very good. And Matt, what do you like?
Yeah, I'll have to agree with Chris there. Bedford, Morris, he's a great runner there, puts up a lot of yards and does a lot on his own as well, a big back, and so I'm going to go with the Bulldogs.
Well, I'm going to make it unanimous here. Cody Morris, remember a few weeks ago against Exira EHK, he got dinged up and had 7 carries for 7 yards. Well, he only had 9 carries last week against Corning for 397 yards, oh, by the way, and 5 touchdowns. In case you're wondering, that's 44.1 yards per carry, and that registers very high on the Hokometer. That's pretty good. So, I could see a scenario where AHST can win this ball game at home, but I just don't think they're as seasoned right now as are the Bulldogs. I like the Bulldogs on the road to pick up this win. It's an important game for both of these teams because they're playing for home field advantage in the first round of the playoffs. The winner will get second in the district, and the loser will finish third. They're both in already, but it is important for positioning. So we all like Bedford here over AHST. Another important game, this has a lot of playoff implications too, Underwood on the road at Tri-Center. Tri-Center can lock it down with a win, and Underwood can really throw a monkey wrench into things with a win here tonight. Chris, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, if Underwood were to pull it off, it gets really wacky with the scenarios that could play out. But I like Tri-Center. The things that they've been able to do throughout the season. It should be a fun game. I mean, both teams really sped the ball around. There's not real, you know, stars, I guess, you point to, and you absolutely have to stop this guy because they do both hand the ball off to a lot of different players. But I like Britton Barrier running the show for Tri-Center, and I think they'll get it done at home to lock up that four spot.
Okay. That's one for the Trojans. Matt, how do you see it?
Well, Tri-Center, they've had a real good a season here so far this year. They just, you know, have gone up against the big boys and haven't been able to get over the top. But with everybody else in the district, they've competed very well and been successful. And so I look for that to continue this week. They've done well at home, and so I'm going to go with the Trojans.
Okay, that is two. I'm going to make it three. I was just looking at district standings and stats and stuff. Doug Hoke, Ben Wellman, Britton Barrier all are in the top three, or actually those three are in the top 10 in rushing in that particular district. And it's a pretty good district. It's a pretty solid district where you can statistics are tough to come by in that district. You're not going to see a lot of bloated numbers and stuff because the competition is so good each time out. So it impressed me to see three of the top 10 rushers come from Tri-Center. They keep it on the ground. They play it safe, and they're at home. If it were on the road, I might tend to think a little bit differently, but I like Tri-Center in this one. Doug?
Yeah, you know, Tri-Center has just had some scores that are a little bit more competitive this year. They were able to emerge victorious against Griswold, whereas Underwood lost. And as we talked about, we got the Hoka-meter. You know, it's down to 14.8, but that's still pretty good. However, I've got to make up some ground on Chris, so I'm going to play the Costanza game and do the opposite. I'm going to go with Underwood.
Going to try Underwood on the road, right?
Yep.
You know, not the worst pick in the world. They're a respectable team. They've played some teams pretty tough, and they're a cat that's cornered right now. They have to win.
I've had a lot worse picks this year, so.
Last week.
Yeah.
That's the first step, is admitting it.
Yep.
Let's move on here. We have one for Underwood, three for Tri-Center. Game number five on our list is that same Class 1A district, and this is the district championship game that we've all been talking about all season long. St. Albert on the road at Logan Magnolia. Both teams are perfect on the year. One will be perfect at the end of the night. Matt, who will that be?
Well, you know, I'm going to continue with St. Albert, the Falcons. They're just an awfully strong ball club from top to bottom. We've said it before, not many standouts, but they get the job done. Overall, I think they've got a more impressive defense than Loma. And of course, it's at Loma, so I want to see St. Albert win.
All right. That's one for St. Albert. Yeah, you know, normally you'd look at
more
a game like this.
Than
and,
that, right?
Yeah. And one of the first things you'd think of is, well, who's at home? Because it's a big deal. And then those are two good home field advantages. Both these teams are very good at defending their home turf. I just wrote one note down about this particular game here, and it was under St. Albert. I wrote too balanced. And I maybe should have added too well-seasoned to it as well. They've been there, and, you know, week 9, that's only halfway through their football season usually. They're used to playing into week 14, 15, whatever it is that you have to win for the championship. They're used to playing pretty deep into the season. St. Albert just looks too good this year. We saw Logan Magnolia last week, but I think they played it relatively close to the vest against Griswold. We didn't see a lot of their fancy stuff. I think they only ran 4, 5, 6 plays. You know, they just ran them real well. So I like St. Albert, though, in this one, and I'm going to stick with you. I'll take the Falcons. Doug?
Well, you never know what goes on up there in Harrison County, right, Matt? You never know what could happen in Logan.
You sit down in that bowl down there.
In the bowl. I was going to say the bowl. I have no idea what you're talking about, but but the bowl, yeah. You know, I think Logan Magnolia fever is spreading because up on Sunday at the Trojan Bowl, I saw a Logan Magnolia seat up there. So apparently they have fans everywhere.
They must.
Yeah. So anyway.
Get to it.
Yeah, okay. Logan Magnolia. I'm taking LM.
Okay, going out on the potential limb.
They don't deserve
that
much airtime.
I know. Sorry about that. Coach Strait is a great coach, though, so we're going to. I bet you, and you know, and as you said earlier this year, I mean, they've won games, and he kind of has a feeling that maybe they're not, you know, he doesn't know how they're winning them, but they're winning them. So I think it's going to continue today.
I can't remember how long Matt's been there. Has he been there long enough to have coached Dominic Alves?
Yeah, because Dominic's only a sophomore, so yeah, he's been there quite a while.
Oh yeah.
Okay, well, Dominic's turned into a pretty decent defensive end for the Hawkeyes. So yeah, good coach then. Hey, good coach. Well, Chris, what are you going to do? You going to leave Doug out on a limb?
I'm going to leave him out on a limb. I find it very hard to pick against St. Albert, especially a team that, like you said, is just so balanced and so seasoned. They've been there year in and year out. They've got some, you know, senior leaders every year that have the experience to lead the way, and I think they'll be able to get it done here. It'll be a good game, but I think St. Albert wins.
Okay, well, I guess I'm solidifying my third place position here this week, Doug. Thank you very much. Now he's trying to pick against me, not so much against Chris. He just wants out of the basement. Huh?
Think about that when he came in the room.
Logan Magnolia for Doug. The rest of us have St. Albert. Good ball game, though. There are a lot of great places to go watch high school football tonight, you know, and some of them just happen to be rivalries. You know, St. Albert, Logan Magnolia is not just a great game. It's turned into a great rivalry between those teams, too. We mentioned earlier the Mills County Super Bowl that Chris dubbed it, the Mills brothers facing off, East Mills and Fremont Mills. Well, we have the Page County Super Bowl, Clarinda at Shenandoah, the next game on our list. That's long been a rivalry there, and Coach Hetherington has the Mustangs playing a little bit better here this year, 3-6. It's been a while since they put much for numbers at Shenandoah up for football wins. Clarinda, though, is already in the playoffs. They're playing pretty decent. They're on the road. I'm going to start this one out. I'm going to take Clarinda on the road here in this one, although it does scare me a little bit. Last game of the season, you know, Shenandoah, it's the last game they're going to play. It's a rival. You never know what can happen there, Doug.
Well, right, and with Clarinda already being securely in the playoffs, maybe they pull some players early, or their heart maybe isn't in it. But like you said, it's a rivalry game, and so I don't think that'll happen. I think Clarinda Cardinals are going to win.
Going to play close to the vest on this one.
Yep.
All right, Chris, what do you have?
I am going to go with both of you guys. I think Clarinda, just that fact, you know, that it's a big rivalry game. It's not going to be one that they're going to take lightly and take off, because they always want to win this game every year no matter what. So I think Clarinda's got a little bit more balance, it looks like, looking at their statistics. And the only game teams that they've lost to have been pretty good teams here this year. So I think they've got a decent squad, so I'll go with Clarinda.
Okay. Matt?
I'll just keep it straight across the board and go with Clarinda also. I think they have too many horses for this game. Shenandoah has shown some new life this year, but Clarinda's just a little bit too much for them.
So you think Clarinda has the horses to beat the Mustangs?
Stallions. Yeah, we've got the Stallions.
Okay, I just wanted to be clear on that, make sure we're going in the right direction here. Well, Tyler Stevie's a pretty nice quarterback for Clarinda, and I think they've had a kid with the last name Stevie on their team consecutively for about 183 years or something like that now. It seems like they've always had a Stevie on the ball club, but interesting matchup tonight. So Matt's taking the horses over the ponies, I guess. All right, very good. That's where we are there. Everybody likes Clarinda over Shenandoah. We have two left to take a look at their 3A games. We'll do that right after this.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, for Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now if you live in one of the 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Back on who's going to win. Two games left to take a look at. We're moving into 3A right now with Creston on the road at Harlan. There's another district championship game for you. That's the third championship game we have on the list. The winner gets the title in 3A District 1. Doug, who's the champ?
Well, you know, it's at Merrill Field. I mean, not too many teams go in there and can win. But, you know, this is, I think, a little bit of a different year for Harlan. I think some of the luster is off maybe just this year. I'm not saying that next year. You never know. But I think Creston really impressed me with the win against Carroll, and try to keep the district record undefeated. I'm going to take the Panthers on the road.
Okay, one for Creston. Chris, what do you like?
Yeah, this is another one of those kind of fun games that could be a good one to be at here on around the area. But like you said, you know, it's not the same home field, I don't think, this year for Harlan. And I have been impressed with what Creston's done throughout the year. It's going to be the battle of the quarterbacks. You know, which one are you going to take, Neitzel or Osborne? I think Creston's maybe a little bit more well-balanced overall on both sides of the football. So I'm going to take Creston on the road, too, as well. They're going to be hungry to try to win this district for once, so I think they can do it.
Okay. Well, that's two for Creston. Matt?
I thought for sure you'd go with Harlan there, Chris. So. Yeah, this is definitely an interesting game. About the time you think that Harlan's down and out, they've kind of actually, find this surprising, they've kind of been flying under the radar the last half of this season. And, you know, they're still trying to keep that, was it three-game? They haven't lost three games in a regular season. And I don't know how long, but, well, I guess all good things have to come to an end, so I'm going to go with Creston.
Okay. Well, there you are. Well, I wrote down here that I just wrote Luke Neitzel and Bryce McElravy. They're third and fourth in the district in rushing in the position there. And, you know, Neitzel's probably the second best dual threat quarterback in the district behind Alex Reed, who's a Division I kid as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, pretty good stuff. So I'm going with Harlan.
Very well reasoned.
Well, I wasn't going to. I was planning on going with Creston, but you guys are all doing that. So, Harlan at home is not a bad limb pick to have. So I figured
Harlan's defense just hasn't been impressive throughout the year.
No.
And that's probably the one thing that will hold him up this week.
When it's a one-man gang. I mean, Zach Osborne has to go out and have a great night every night because they don't have a rushing game to speak of, and the defense is porous. So it just kind of depends on how it goes. But, yeah, well, like I said, we got to make up some space somewhere. So Harlan at home, I'll take that limb pick. All right, let's go to the last game on our list. Red Oak on the road at Atlantic. Do the Trojans finish off big, Chris?
Yeah, I think they do. Obviously impressive last week, them bouncing back and, you know, kind of, I guess, rallying as a ball club. And they played with a lot of confidence. And really, you know, we got there to see most of the end of the ball game. And I was just impressed with not only, you know, the win, but how they made it look. They looked like a much better team out there for the most of that ball game that I saw. So I like Atlantic to close out the season strong and give themselves the chance that they could get into the postseason.
All right. That's one. Matt?
I'm going to have to agree with you, Chris, on this one. You know, you've had a good record throughout the year, so I'll go with you here. But, no, Atlantic, you'd say we could probably throw our fifth grade or sixth grade out there against Red Oak, but they just haven't had things going this year, and Atlantic is really rolling right now. That was a big confidence booster. They know that if they can pick up a win and get some help down the line, that there's outside chance they can make it in the playoffs.
All right, that's two for Atlantic. I make it three. I don't see how. I mean, how in the world, seriously, do you go out and – I mean, Red Oak's just gotten thumped every night. I mean, how do you go out and turn it around in the last week of the season? I mean, you'd think the mentality would be more along the lines of, let's just get out of here, move on to basketball and wrestling. And that might be the case there. But, you know, Atlantic still has a shot at the playoffs. There are a couple of scenarios where they could still get in, but they all include them winning tonight. Yeah. So I don't think that'll be a problem. I think the game will be in hand by halftime, and I think a lot of kids will get a chance to play, and they'll get a chance to honor the seniors at that point, too, bringing them out of the ball game a little early. So that's what I see happening. Doug, how do you see it?
Well, I think the game, you know, is probably pretty easily in Atlantic's hands. I was impressed at the Trojan Bowl on last Friday night. You know, Atlantic certainly benefited at the beginning of the game by Carroll's miscues, you know, some turnovers and things. But there was a point in that game where you kind of felt like Carroll had some things happen in their favor, blocked a punt, had a kickoff return for a touchdown. And you started to think, well, you know, this is Carroll and they're 6-1 and Atlantic's maybe not going to do it. But, you know, the Atlantic persevered. They came through and scored another touchdown and really dashed those hopes. And so I was impressed by that. And hopefully this is a springboard, you know, for next year with some of that young talent. And as far as the Red Oak game, I think Atlantic's going to win. But I was glad to see the performance on last Friday.
Okay, everybody likes Atlantic across the board. That's all we have for picks this week. Again, Chris and I will be in Anita in just moments to bring you the Murray-Cam game. Kicks off at 7 o'clock, and we'll have all that action for you tonight here on KJAN. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it once again for the final regular season. Who's going to win? We have one more coming up. We'll have it for you next Wednesday evening prior to our high school football playoff coverage. Who's going to win Wednesday night will be at 6 o'clock. That'll get underway at 6 o'clock. And that'll again, then we'll move on to our postgame or pregame coverage at 6:30 and then kick off at 7 o'clock with a playoff game yet to be determined coming up on Wednesday night. So for Doug Leonard, Chris Parks, Matt Mullenix, I'm Jim Field. Thanks for joining us this week on Who's Going to Win.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now if you live in one of the 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.